Welcome to the Lynch with a Leader podcast takeaway edition, where Mike and Casey sit down and pull out some of the best leadership nuggets from the most recent podcast. Now, here's your host, Casey Lynch.
Welcome back to Takeaways from Lynch with a Leader. I'm your host, Casey Lynch, sitting down with Mike after his interview with Dr. Karen Gordon. All right, Mike, I want to put a twist on the first question that we always ask.
What you got?
So it's a two-parter. Number one, what's your favorite thing about your conversation with Dr. Gordon? But second, what's your favorite thing about her book, Three Chairs? Because that really dominates this conversation and sets the scene for it.
Yeah. So let me say the first part. My favorite thing about sitting down with Karen Gordon is the depth of the conversation. It's not like she writes about something she doesn't understand. She understands depths to it that I can surface level understand, but when she begins to plumb the depths of the conversation, I think that's where I get so much energy from it, because her depth of understanding is so great. And so that's one of my favorite things about it. Second part about that is, what is my favorite thing about the book? I think it nails leadership, because I think all of us, as she says in the book, Casey, we talked about it in a meeting last week, we all vacillate between the three chairs. We vacillate between feeling like an imposter to feeling like we earned it and we belong, to that humble, confident chair in the middle. And we're always going back and forth depending on the day, the situation, and the topic.
Majority of your conversation with Dr. Gordon centers around this idea of communication and why it's so critical for leaders. You spend a ton of time with leaders in different avenues and different sectors of business and leadership in general. What do leaders get wrong about communication?
I think we get wrong, Casey, about communication in general, whether it's at home or at work. And I think what we get wrong is we think one way applies to everybody. And I think we communicate like we like to be communicated with. And that's not what everybody needs. And I do it, right? I use lots of words. I talk too much. And that's what I like. Well, somebody like you, you want short statements, you want bullets, you want, tell me the basics. I don't need the whole paragraph. Just give me the bullets. And I think as leaders, our ability to adjust to the people around us will really tell us our effectiveness with how we communicate with the masses, meaning one size does not fit all.
How have you learned to adjust your communication styles to the people around you?
You know, I think you adjust or you die. So I think because I've begun, and I'll tell you what's helped me, Casey, being a DISC trainer, the DISC model of behavioral styles helped me a ton, because it helped me understand people aren't like me and I'm not like them. And great teams, and we say this every time we do a DISC training, great teams are not built with just great people. Yes, that helps it. But it's built with people who are able to adjust to the people around it. And so we say the phrase, we lean in. So if I know that I'm communicating, your mother, my wife, and I are total opposite. So if I lean into what she needs, and she leans in communication-wise to what I need, well, we build a great marriage, we build a great family. Well, business is the same way. Everybody's job is not to adjust to you. Your job as a leader is to adjust to them. And if they do adjust to you, you find this common ground that you can build off of. And I believe that is the secret. And so all of my learning in that area has helped me understand and be self-aware of what I might be good at in some ways, but that strength can really become a weakness with people that don't hear that style of communication.
That's the perfect segue into another pillar of your conversation with Dr. Karen Gordon, which was emotional intelligence. And I think that idea of EQ is so fascinating because for the majority of all of our lives, IQ is the focus. Yep. And then you get into the business world, you get onto teams and you're put into a leadership position. And all of a sudden, your IQ isn't necessarily as important as your EQ.
Yep.
What would you tell a leader listening today? Just a quick step or a tool that they could put into their tool belt in their emotional leadership capacity and helping to grow that?
Number one is, and we've talked about this, I think every episode of Takeaways is self-awareness, understanding yourself. Number two, seek to understand before being understood. And if you will do that, if you will be one that seeks to understand before being understood, you will become a person that people want to follow. You know, there are some of us that weren't blessed with a high IQ. So we've had to grow. I'm not a high IQ guy. So I've had to grow my emotional intelligence and my ability to deal with people. And I don't know how many times you and I and Mary Michael, your sister, had the conversation growing up of, if you can work hard and get along with people, you can go a long, long ways. And it's true. And seeking to understand before being understood, which means we have to become great listeners. Hearing not only what is said, but hearing what is not said. What are the unsaid things that are behind what they just said? And when a person can emotionally and empathetically deal with those people that way, it is a game changer. And what you do is you create a team everybody wants to be on, because everybody wants to be understand and understood, and for people to understand where they're coming from.
It's putting you on the spot a little bit, but who's a leader that you have witnessed that you would say, man, their EQ with their team is off the charts?
Well, I would say that I have a lot. One guy in our community that I think does that really well is Ryan Dyer at North Paulding. Ryan is an incredibly task-driven leader, but Ryan seeks so hard to listen and to understand, and it makes him an exceptional leader. And coaches love to coach with him. He builds great departments. He builds great teams. He supports. He loves. He doesn't sit there and go, well, everybody's got to adjust to me. He works to adjust to everybody and be a servant leader. And because he does that, it makes him a great leader.
Another pillar point of your conversation, and really a pillar point of communication. This is a tough one for a lot of people in the room. We're squirming in our chairs when it came up in your conversation with Dr. Gordon, is the idea of not only seeing conflict and knowing that it exists, but attacking conflict when it exists within your organization. Why is it so critical that a leader attacks conflict?
You attack it or it attacks you. I think it's the one lesson we've all learned. And so my dad, I am a conflict averse leader. I don't like conflict. In fact, I spent many years trying to run from conflict. And I remember a certain personnel thing we had to deal with years and years and years ago at North Star. And I would talk to my dad about, my dad was in business. And so I would call dad and I would run the scenario by him. And he's like, well, Mike, you need to go on and deal with that. And I'm like, well, I'm waiting for a good opportunity. I'll deal with it next week and deal with it the next week and deal with it the next week. And I remember one time he said, well, did you do anything? No, no, no. And I remember him saying this, Casey. He said, well, that's good. That's good. Cause I'm sure the next time it comes up, it'll be easier to deal with than it was last week. And he knew what I was learning, and that conflict is inevitable and it gets worse over time. I remember hearing John Maxwell talking about David and Goliath and how David ran out and attacked the giant when he saw him, where the nation of Israel had run out there and seen him for 40 days and run back to their huddle. They chose not to go to the conflict. And I remember something John Maxwell said. He said, do you think Goliath looked bigger on the first day or on the 40th day? Well, he looked bigger on the 40th day. And that's the way conflict is. The longer we put it off, it has the ability to come get us rather than us going to get it.
you know, when conflict's handled correctly, it doesn't have to be a negative for a team. In fact, it could turn into a team's greatest strength. What's an example that you have seen of a conflict? You don't have to necessarily get into the situation, but a conflicting situation with opposing sides that ended up becoming a strength for a team.
Well, I mean, I think we can go into the world of athletics. You and I have been watching a documentary on the New England Patriots, and they had the Tom Brady Drew Bledsoe controversy. Well, Bill Belichick's not a friend of mine, but I respect the heck out of his coaching ability. He dealt with that head on. He did not go, I'll tell you game day who the starter is. So Bledsoe, the returning veteran, was told Tom Brady's our starter. And he dealt with the effects of that. But what it allowed the team to do was rally around Brady. And then you watched in this documentary, you watched Drew Bledsoe, the veteran, assume the role of I'm going to be the best two I can. Now, I want to be the one. I feel like I deserve to be the one. But because everything was out front and dealt with, it allowed him to make the adjustment of going, okay, I've got a new role. And for the remainder of this contract, I'm going to be the best two I can be. And when the opportunity comes to step in, I'll step in, which he won the AFC Championship game that year because he was ready to step in. So to me, it was a great picture of what can happen if you deal with conflict correctly.
I'll tell you, I think this conversation with Dr. Gordon was shorter in length, but chock full of just incredible leadership wisdom, because there is no way to lead and not communicate. You're communicating either through your words or your actions every single day. And so I thought Dr. Gordon did such an incredible job of taking her three-church framework and her best-selling book and her award-winning TED Talk and applying it to our everyday conversations that we have as leaders. And so if you haven't listened to this episode already, go back. It's just going to be the one below this episode. You need to go back, carve out some time, and listen to this conversation with Dr. Gordon, because you'll leave a better leader for it. Next week, you've got another guest who's going to be joining us. Why don't you tell us about that conversation?
Yeah, so there's a guy here in Atlanta, Georgia, named Dr. Crawford Loretz. I have followed his life and his legacy for years. Never met him till we connected on this call for the podcast. And there are some people that you run across, Casey, in life, and you go, gosh, I hate it took me this long to meet him. I've heard so much about them, and I almost was a little fearful that what I had heard about him would outpace what he was, but who he was outpaced what I'd heard about him. And I got off the call. I remember sending the episode to you right away going, this is for me, one of the most impactful episodes I've ever been a part of. And if nobody listened to it, I got better from it. And he oozed wisdom. He oozed leadership. He oozed 70 plus years of life into one episode, and it is the word I think of is just rich. With it, he wasn't promoting a book. We talked about one of his books, Leadership is an Identity, but he was just sharing his journey and sharing his story. And there were just some takeaways in it that I will take for the rest of my journey that made me a better leader. It's gonna be a fun one.
And we believe that this conversation with Dr. Crawford Loretz will be a game changer for your leadership as well. And we don't want you to miss it. So wherever you watch this podcast or you listen to it, please do us a favor. Go make sure that you're subscribed. And if possible, leave us a rating and review so that you can help other leaders take their step in spiritual leadership. We can't wait for you to hear that conversation. And we can't wait to get back together to break down Mike's time with Dr. Crawford Loretz. But we hope you have an incredible week, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you so much for joining us today and adding to your leadership toolbox. We will see you Monday when Mike sits down with another amazing leader who is making a mark in the space and place that God has put them. For more information about Lynch with a Leader, please visit the website www.mikelynch.com.